Bibles to Luke chapter 2. You know, we just sang about it, but for centuries, the Jewish people had waited for their Messiah. I can imagine that every year, there would not be a year that would go by that people wouldn't wonder and ponder, is this the year the Messiah is coming? Is this the year He's coming? And on a silent and holy night, outside Bethlehem, in a cave or in a manger, and out in a field, the angels joyously announced the arrival of this new coming King. They said, He's here. He's here. God is with us. And I want you to turn this morning as we look for a moment at the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And I want to read verses 8 through 18. And my remarks today are entitled, The Shepherd's Perspective. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Shall we pray together? Father, I thank You so much that we can celebrate this wonderful season, this time of the birth of Your Son, Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful for what this means for each and every one of us in this room. Lord, for some of us, the birth of Your Son could mean a change in our lives. Today our lives could take a turn for the better and life could be different. For others, the birth of Your Son is a challenge. A challenge to go and see. A challenge to go and tell. A challenge to be what You want us to be. For others of us in this room, the birth of Your Son is an opportunity to overcome fear. Just like You told those shepherds, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I bring you good news." We can receive good news this morning. Father, the truth is for all of us today, it's a message of hope. It's a message of good news. It's a message for which You should receive praise and glory and honor. So just speak to us and minister to our hearts now as we look at this story from the perspective of the shepherds. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think it's any accident that among the first people to hear the news about the birth of the Christ child were shepherds. Shepherds were certainly not the people you'd imagine. After all, God could go to anyone He wanted. He could go to kings. He could have gone to religious leaders. He could have gone to leaders in the city. He could have gone anywhere to tell the news. But He chose shepherds. If that seems unusual to you, have you ever thought about why God chose shepherds first to reveal the news? Well, I believe it's because of the unique perspective that shepherds had. You know, it's interesting to hear a unique perspective, isn't it? Sometimes children have unique perspectives about things. Now, I received permission to tell this story. I just want you to know that up front. But my youngest son, Grayson, when he was about 4 years old, my wife and I were invited to go to a wedding to sing. And it was a lady that she had taught with, and she'd been involved with in several school activities, and a lot of the fellow school teachers would be there. And so Gina really wanted Grayson to go to this wedding. He didn't want to go. And so he was making his case to me in there as we were getting ready, and it wasn't working too well. But He gave me a unique perspective that I've never heard before or since on weddings. And I've taken it to heart as I perform a lot of weddings now. What he said to me that morning is he said, I just don't want to go to this wedding. And we were trying to appeal to him. I was saying, but all of your mom's friends are going to be there. And all the people she teaches with. And it's going to be a fun time. And he's like, nope, I'm not going to it. I don't want to go. There'll be too much kissing and too much preaching. Now, please don't give him a hard time after the service. He was 4 at the time, okay? But he had a unique perspective, didn't he? And these shepherds had a unique perspective. And I believe it's the fact that they had a unique perspective is the reason why God chose them first. So let me give you, you say, well, what was their unique perspective? Well, let me give you 3 things that I believe made up the unique perspective of the shepherds. And it's why God chose them first. The first perspective I think the shepherds had is the fact that everybody is included when it comes to the message about Jesus. Everybody's included. Everybody's invited to the party. You know, shepherds weren't exactly living the life in that day, in that age. If you were to talk to a little boy in Jerusalem at that time and you asked them what they wanted to do or be when they grew up, I guarantee you they wouldn't have said a shepherd. It was a dead-end job. I mean, they were out there tending to the flocks 24/7. Do you know a shepherd couldn't give testimony in a court of law? They couldn't even enter into the temple. They weren't allowed because they were considered unclean. And since they were at the flocks all the time, they were perpetually unclean. So these men, ironically, that were probably watching over the flock and the sheep that would be taken later to sacrifice in the temple so that people could be close to God, were unable to get to God. They couldn't get to God at that time. So you know what happened? God came to them. I want you to look back in the story, what I just read. It says in verse 9, it says, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. You see, the shepherds couldn't get to God, so God came to the shepherds. Isn't that cool? You know, that's really what the Christian faith is all about, in case you didn't realize it. Every other world religion is man working their way to God. Do something, learn something, be something, and maybe, just maybe, you'll get a glimpse of God. Christianity is God come down to man. Emmanuel, God is with us. You know, another thing about the shepherds as we think about their story is the shepherds were afraid. I mean, it says so right here. Wouldn't you be? I mean, I don't know about you. I hope they have instant replay in heaven. And I hope they have instant replay because I'd like to see an instant replay of this scene of these angels, this choir of angels singing. This was a great choir singing behind us, but can you imagine the choir that was singing that night in those Bethlehem hills? I'd like to see that. That would be a sight to see. But I think it was a scary sight for those shepherds who weren't expecting it. And they were afraid. But you know what's cool about this story? Is that angel, that head angel that was standing before them said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because I give you good news of great joy. You see, the shepherds didn't need to be afraid because his news is good news. His news is good news. And some of you in here today in this room, you might be afraid of God. You might be afraid of God because you think that God is mad at you. You've done something to sever his love for you. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, indeed, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also teaches that God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to repent because God so loved what? The world. God so loved the world. So, whatever you're afraid of today, maybe you're afraid of what God wants to do with your life. Maybe God's been speaking to you about a call on your life and you're like, oh Lord, please don't send me there. Please don't do that with me. Maybe it's something in your life that is just an insurmountable obstacle. The message the shepherds have today for you and for me is do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what he wants to do in your life because his news is good news. Thirdly, the shepherds didn't have to find God themselves. He gave them directions. Don't you love this part? Look with me back in the story again. You know, again, in our world today, people teach and tell you that there are many roads that lead to heaven. They'll tell you that there are a lot of ways to find God. That's really not what the Christmas story tells. In fact, the angel gives specific instructions. He says, today a Savior. I love that when he says, today a Savior. I love that word, Savior. God sent a Savior to live on this earth for us. A Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David. He tells the shepherds exactly where they can find this child. And then he says something about a sign in verse 12. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. You see, what he's doing there is he's telling them exactly where they can find this child, where to look and where to go. And that's exactly what we need to understand today. There is one way to be right with God. There is one way to have a relationship with God. It's through Jesus. Jesus Christ, through a personal relationship with this beautiful Son who came to live on this earth. God is with us, Emmanuel. But as we continue in this story, there's a second point that I think a second perspective that I think the shepherds would have. And that's this. Anybody can experience the promises that are found in Jesus. Anybody can experience the promises that are found in Jesus. You see, something about this story that jumps out at me, when you get to verse 15, look with me for a moment there in verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, that which the Lord has made known to us. I think what that's telling us, folks, is that it's not enough to hear God's invitation. We need to respond to it. You know, there's a lot of people in our culture today who've heard this story and they know it better than the preacher knows it. They know it inside and out. They've heard it. They have knowledge of it, but they've never experienced it. Have you ever experienced Christmas? Have you experienced the Christ child? Has there been a time where you have said yes to His call on your life and you've repented or turned from your sins and you've trusted in Jesus Christ and only Jesus and called out to Him to save you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. So what we need to understand is that the shepherds said yes to God's invitation. They went. They experienced Christ. And the same is true for us today. We need to say yes to what Jesus has done. Jesus has certainly done all the work. He said it is finished on the cross, and He's been gloriously resurrected. But we must say yes to this gift that He offers us. And then there's a third thing I see as they went to Bethlehem, as they left their surroundings, they went to find the child. And that's this. You cannot stay where you are and follow Christ. You can't stay where you are and follow Christ. You know, back to this passage in verse 11, where he says, today a Savior is born who is Christ or Messiah the Lord. In American Christianity, I'm afraid there's been a disconnect. We understand the part about the Savior. We love that part. People tell me all the time, I've been saved. I'm right with God. But they don't make Him Lord. A lot of people do not want to obey Christ, do not want to follow His way. And folks, the truth of the matter is the way you make Him your Savior is by inviting Him to be your Lord. And that word Lord just means the boss of your life, the one who calls the shots. Jesus ought to be the one who calls the shots in our lives. But then there's one other thing I want to point out today in this story that you all probably know very well. And it's found in verse 17. They found what they were looking for in verse 16, but it says in verse 17, after seeing them, they reported the message. I like what other translations say. They spread the word. They just couldn't keep it to themselves. And that reminds me, third and finally today, that everybody who's experienced Jesus must share the message about Jesus. That's the unique perspective the shepherd would give us today if he stood before us. Everybody who's experienced Jesus must share the message about Jesus. See, the Bible tells us that the shepherds heard the message, they went and experienced Christ, and they told everybody they could the message about Christ. And you know what? We need to follow in the footsteps of the shepherds. Folks, if we're not out there telling others, we're not being the church. And I'm so thankful that Hillcrest Baptist Church is a church that loves to share the news and tell the news about Christ. Folks, when we experience Jesus for ourselves, we should want to see others experience Him too. I don't know what moves your heart this morning, but I hope the lostness of this world, the lostness of this country, the lostness of this community moves your heart to respond like those shepherds and to the best of your ability to tell others about the hope they have in this baby who grew up to be a Savior and grew up to die for our sins on the cross. You see, when we share news about Jesus with others, whether you realize it or not, you may not think about this, but you're sharing the greatest news in the world. Actually, the greatest news in the universe. There's nothing more beautiful, nothing more powerful, nothing more important than this great news that your sins can be forgiven, that you can have a relationship with God, that the Spirit of God can live inside of you and walk with you and guide you in your daily life, giving you an abundant life, that He can help you to become the man or the woman or the boy and the girl that He wants you to be. And the best news of all is that when you die, when that time comes for you to die, instead of hell, you can live in eternity in heaven with Him forevermore. Folks, that's great news. That's important news. That's critical news that people need to hear. And here's a third and final point to think about regarding the shepherds. The shepherds were missionaries. They were the first missionaries for Jesus. They were the first people I know of, at least in Scripture, to go and tell others. And we need to be missionaries. In fact, we're never more like Jesus than when we're on mission for Jesus. Have you thought about that? We're never more like Jesus than when we're on mission for Jesus. You see, Jesus lived His life as a missionary. You know, this earth wasn't His home. He left heaven and came to be on a 33-and-a-half-year mission trip to this world. And the Bible even says that was His plan, that was His goal, to seek and to save what was lost. And folks, I think we need to follow in the footsteps of our Master. And I'm so glad that we have a church that takes missions seriously. Folks, there's a world out there that needs to hear. And, you know, I was looking the other day, there are over 13,000 people groups in this world today. A people group is someone that has their own culture, their own language. And of those 13,000 people groups, there's some 2 billion people who have still never heard about Jesus or heard very little about Him. They don't have access to this word that you're holding in your hand or reading on the screen today. Folks, they need to know. They need to hear the good news. We need to be missionaries. And this speaks volumes about the heart of God, this shepherd's perspective. And I hope that you'll be willing to go. You know, God may be calling you halfway around the world somewhere, but He also may be calling you to someone right here in this community. He might be calling you today to invite someone to our Christmas Eve service on Thursday night, or to befriend someone and build a relationship with the goal and the view that you can be a missionary to share this good news about Jesus so they can be born again, just as the Son of Man was born to die. You know, I heard somebody say one time, and I love this quote, "Nobody should hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once." Nobody should hear the gospel twice until everybody has heard it once. And folks, we have a church here that's serious about missions. And you need to pray about how you can get involved in missions work and be involved where God wants you to be and go where God wants you to go. You know, the shepherds never forgot that night. I have no doubt about that. Can you imagine fast forwarding about 30 years later, maybe 33 years later? Can you imagine if some of these shepherds are still around and they're still on the scene? At this point in time, there was news of a different sort that was spreading about Jesus, that He was a great teacher and preacher and a healer, that He had healed the sick and even raised the dead. There were rumblings that He was a Messiah. In fact, there was even news that He had been beaten and crucified and rose again from the dead. How do you suppose the shepherds responded to this news? News of His crucifixion and news of death. I think they got it. I think they would say, "He's alive." And I think the shepherds would understand. After all, they had sacrificed lambs for many years. They had been there in that birth. They knew something was special. And these men of God were used throughout their lives. I think we might have an example of a shepherd's perspective, and I want to close with that this morning. So Norm's going to show you a video, and it's kind of lighthearted, but I think you'll get the picture of the shepherd's perspective today as we think about what they did and what they saw.
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there in the pasture. But that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I was like, "Too late." And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, "I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "He's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him." Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, "Hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem." So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. Nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, "I bring good news to all people." That means you too.
Said, "Nobody's ever chosen me before. God chose me." You know what? God loves you where you are today. He is calling you. He's choosing you. He wants you to be in a right relationship with Him through His Son Jesus. He wants you to be a missionary. He wants you to be on mission for Him. He wants you to be His vessel. He wants to grow you. He wants to give you an abundant life. Those shepherds were just average, ordinary, common guys that experienced an extraordinary God on that night. And their lives were never the same afterwards. You let God speak to your heart today. You let God do what only God can do with your heart and your life. And you'd be amazed. You'll have a story to tell. And you'll have a story to tell to the world. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we have heard the wonderful message of the birth of Christ and the meaning behind it. In music and song today, we've read it in your word. And now we're at a point just like those shepherds where we need to experience it. Lord, right now I pray that as you're moving in hearts, the things that we've said, the things that we've sang today, the things that you have put into the minds and hearts of people here, it's not an accident. Lord, you're wanting to do business with us today. You're wanting us to maybe make a step of faith that might change our lives forever. It might be a step of salvation where someone is, for the first time in their lives, placing their life in your hands, placing their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, if that's your plan, if there's someone you're speaking to today, give them courage. Help them to follow through. Father, if there's someone here today that just needs help, they're afraid, or they've lost their hope, they've lost their way. Maybe they know you, maybe they're your child, but you want to speak to them in a different way. God, I pray that you would help them to come near to you and experience the Christ child once again. Father, if there's someone here today that you're prodding them to be more involved in church, not just the religious activity of church, but the life that comes from being in the body, the life that comes from being in a small group, or the life that comes from being together with believers on mission. Sometimes on mission in other countries, sometimes on mission right here in Lebanon. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts and help people to have courage to make a step of faith for you. Lord, whatever you intend for this altar, this invitation, I pray that your will would be done. And I pray and know that you'll receive all the glory for who you are and for how you work in our lives. Thank you so much for the Christmas story. And Father, I thank you so much that we have a record of the shepherd's perspective. Because the more I think about it, I'm an awful lot like those shepherds. I need you, and I'm so glad that you've chosen me. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.